You are listening to Off the Record, a music podcast. Each week, we deliver the best hard-hitting topics of the music industry. Each episode, we give our take on bands, albums, artists, music news, and more. So sit back, grab a drink, turn it up.
Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Rob.
And I'm your host, Jade. And welcome to
Off the Record.
What is going on, dude? How you been?
I am pretty damn good. How are you?
I'm right there with you, man. Minus the whole sinus infection. But yeah, other than that.
Not feeling too good, are you?
Not really. NyQuil, Sudafed, and Robitussin has seemed to become my best friends lately. Yeah, I had to give up Jack, Jim, and Johnny. So how's your week been? What you been up to?
A completely random conversation. I've been obsessed with buffalo sauce here recently.
Really? Buffalo
sauce?
Yes,
buffalo sauce. I picked up a thing of a Sweet Baby Ray's buffalo sauce, and it is buttery and a little spicy. Like, not you know, nothing crazy. There's nothing that I can't handle. But yeah, it's really good shit. I've been putting it on everything. I got a thing of chicken chowder today. And you're damn right. I hooked it up with some buffalo sauce. It was fucking amazing.
That is hilarious.
That shit was really good. Put it on some pizza too. That shit was pretty good.
So I have some sauce that my mom had given me. And it's, I want to say it's Texas Pete, but it's Carolina barbecue.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You're going to have to try some because it's pretty good.
I'm a big fan of sauce. Just very generally speaking, I love sauce. I eat chips as an excuse to eat salsa.
Okay, so you're probably gonna think this is gross, but ever since I was little, so my great grandmother, I mean, you know, she's my great grandmother, so she's a little bit on the older side. And when I was little, I told her I wanted chips and salsa as a snack. To when she went to the grocery store, get me chips and salsa as a snack, and she was like, "Yeah, okay, yeah, you know, I'll get you some chips and salsa. I can do that." And I got so excited thinking I'm gonna get some chips and salsa. She goes and gets Cool Ranch Doritos with Ace Picante sauce. And that was my chips and salsa, but I ate it anyway. And I got to say, it was good as hell. To this day, I will still get Cool Ranch Doritos and Pace Picante sauce.
I can see that. It's the cool to the spicy.
I think so, but it's really good. And I had my husband try it and he was like, ugh, but I really do like it. Like, I don't know if it's just because I've had it since I was a kid. But that was my thing. I'd sit there and watch wrestling, of all things, and eat my Doritos and Pace Picante salsa.
That just sounds like such a redneck thing to do, by the way.
100%, right? I mean, North Carolina, hello. What else is there to do? You turn on the TV, you got local, or you got, like, WWE.
You know, that's on par with that. That Ron White joke. Are you naked and lonely, sitting in a beanbag chair eating Cheetos?
I don't know. Oh, man, I totally forgot about that. You just brought... Oh, I loved that stand-up. That was a great stand-up.
That is super on par with that.
I agree. I mean, that was totally me sitting in my little wannabe... Great, look at me. I'm going to pretend that I'm a girly girl for a split-second chair thing that I had. And, yeah. Yeah, sitting there eating my Cool Ranch Doritos and Pace Picante sauce.
Man, hell yeah. I tell you. Love it.
So speaking, now we've got kind of like what we've been addicted to and what we've been eating. Like, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking something that is very new to me. This is not a traditional bourbon, guy. So my bourbon fans out there, don't fucking shoot me over this. it's a whiskey though called Cooper's Mark Maple Flavored Bourbon Whiskey, and it is smooth and a little on the sweet side, and mixed with some ice and some Coke. I am loving life right now.
That sounds good. That sounds really good. And I have not tried that yet, so I'm going to have to.
After you get over your funk.
Yeah, whatever this sinus infection. Oh my gosh, this is, I can't, I feel like if I just drank a bottle of whiskey, I'd be set. Like I would be completely good. But that also means I'd end up in jail. So do I want to risk going to jail to get rid of the sinus infection or
nah.
Like I can't laugh without coughing. Like this is the most annoying shit. Like the most annoying shit. I can't breathe. I can't laugh without coughing. And if I try to speak normally, I squeak. So
you naturally squeak a little bit as it is. It's actually kind of cute.
Do I really?
A little bit.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Only a little bit.
Okay. Oh, now I'm going to start paying attention. And I'm going to be so self-conscious when I talk now. Thanks, Rob.
Yes. And I'll be sure to send you a message at work. Hey, Jade, you're squeaking right now.
Yes, please do that. Shoot me a message. Be like, I can hear you all the way over here, squeakers. I got it. So I guess most of you guys could probably guess what I'm drinking right now, but it's a toss-up between Robitussin and NyQuil.
That's that good shit. That's that good, good. That's that good and sick shit.
There you go. So as most of you guys can probably guess, I almost have no voice. I do have a voice since coming back from the show, which by the way, to those of you who might have tuned in, I did try to go live on Facebook a little bit over the weekend. I did go see Nonpoint at Club LA with Blacktop Mojo and Saw, and my husband's band Tragic opened up and it was a badass show. Like I woke up the next morning and of course sinus infection has set in because I was sleeping in a 60 degree room with an AC blowing directly on me. But I also had no voice from all of the screaming and the yelling and the woohoo. So if you guys happen to have caught some of the lives, let me know, hit us up, let us know that you saw them because I'm not sure 100% that they even went through because the cell service in that place sucked. But naturally, because I do not have a voice, Rob is going to be your main lead on this episode. So you guys have an awesome, awesome show coming up.
Speaking of, just real quick, shout out to Blacktop Mojo. I saw that they, they liked our Facebook group. So if you guys are listening, thanks for the nod. Love your music. By the way, Dream On, you know, I like to have these conversations about the best covers and hands down one of the best covers. I mean, very, very generally speaking, one of the best covers ever.
Yeah.
Of Aerosmith's Dream On. Great, great cover. And I mean, awesome band all around. So yeah. Shout out to Blacktop Mojo.
Yes, they all, like every band killed it. And they even had, there was this cutest little girl you could ever imagine up on her daddy's shoulders, ready to go up to the front of the stage and rock out. And she maybe no more than 8 years old. And she was just the cutest little thing. And she had like her, like she was throwing up the horns and she was like into it. And she was like, she was wanting to get in the pit. It was pretty badass. So shout out to all the parents out there raising them right.
Definitely. It's always really cool to see, you know, the little kids really getting into it. You know, I have a thing, teach your kids how to cook and get your kids interested in music. And, you 100%. Know, we all play football and play soccer and shit like that. But I feel like music is very, I don't want to say underappreciated, but perhaps underexposed to kids. So yeah, teach your kids how to cook and and teach your kids about music and taking your kid to a live show like that. I mean, that's something that they'll never forget. So that's
absolutely,
that's awesome.
Absolutely. When my husband got on stage, he said that there was like three kids that were standing over at the corner. And so he stopped in between his songs and he made sure to give them a shout out. And he walked over and gave each of them a drumstick and like just kind of, you know, hey, you know, this is our future generation right here. It's our future rock stars in the making, and gave them a big shout out. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. That's pretty damn awesome.
Right.
Speaking of shows, have a little bit of news. Unfortunately, this news came out, it was either a couple of hours or maybe the next day after our last show. Otherwise, it would have been covered on the show. The Super Bowl halftime show for this year has been announced. Dr. Dre, Snoop, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar. OMG.
Right?
This is going to be one of the, if not the best, this is going to be one of the best Super Bowl halftime shows. And by the way, I'm a huge football fan. I'm a huge football nerd. And I'm also a music nerd, of course. So I think I said recently, one of our last shows, that I'm a fan. I think I actually mentioned Dre and Snoop, if I'm not mistaken. Anyhow, big fan of all these guys, and I could not be more excited. I have been saying for fucking years, I want a metal band to play the halftime show. I want Metallica to play the halftime show, or Megadeth, or, you know, whoever, like a legit metal band to play the show. And it's always been, oh, well, they're not family friendly. We can't say that anymore. Right. I don't ever want to hear somebody say you can't play a metal band because they're not family friendly. I mean, some of these last couple of acts haven't exactly been family friendly, and I'm not downplaying any of them, but I mean, some of the last couple of acts haven't been family friendly. These guys are not family friendly.
Right.
But regardless, I'm super excited. I'm really, really excited. I'm going to be front and center during this show. Most of the halftime shows, I kind of fuck off and go get a beer or, you know, whatever it is. I'll be front and center for this show.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you. This is like flashback to, like, you know, us growing up, like what we were raised on. So that's going to be a badass show. I'm excited.
Definitely. Main topic time.
Let's do it.
The main topic of this show is grunge rock. I wanted to mention, you know, I'm talking about grunge specifically. Whenever we talk about 90s music on the whole, the word alternative is thrown around a lot. And whenever you say alternative or 90s rock, you could be talking about Crash Test Dummies or Blues Traveler or Nine Inch Nails or Metallica, Pantera. You could be talking about White Zombie, for example. All those guys, all those bands definitely have their place in 90s music. They have solidified their place in 90s music. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about grunge rock specifically. Grunge, the Seattle sound, also known in some circles as cock rock, if you will.
I've heard that term in
cock rock. Who doesn't love some good cock rock, right? And we're not talking about Creed. Creed has been described as cock rock, and I suppose they are. But the original usage of cock rock is referring to grunge and again, the Seattle sound. Speaking of sound, grunge does inherently have a very distinct sound. It's fuzzy guitar tones, and I don't necessarily mean distorted. There's a little bit of a difference between distortion and fuzzy. Fuzzy is like clean with your distortion at like 25 to 30%. Like whereas metal, your distortion is turned all the way up. So grunge rock has that fuzzy guitar sound with a little bit of punk and a little bit of melody, but tuned down and slowed down for the most part. There are some upbeat grunge rock songs, but for the most part, it's tuned down and slow down.
Right.
To understand grunge rock, you have to understand how it came to be. So in the 80s, you had punk rock. Punk rock turned into thrash metal. Thrash metal is essentially punk rock, but sped up. And there's a lot more musicality in thrash metal. All right, so punk turned into thrash. Then towards the late 80s, thrash turned into heavy metal. Then as we creep into the early 90s, heavy metal turned into grunge rock. So punk to thrash, thrash to heavy metal, yep. Heavy metal to grunge. And that's how, that is essentially in a very small nutshell, how grunge came to be. It was pretty interesting because right around the time that grunge was becoming a thing, MTV was switching from just playing music videos to playing TV shows like Beavis and Butthead, for example. The Real World. Guys, if you haven't seen an episode of The Real World, just go watch it.
Yeah, The Real World.
It was the OG reality TV show. Anyhow, the point that I'm getting at is, as grunge rock was becoming a thing, MTV was sort of the social media of the day. It really, believe it or not, MTV absolutely pushed the grunge rock movement into the spotlight. Now, granted, you had guys like Kurt Cobain, for example, that never cared for the fame or the money. You know, they just wanted to play music, and that's all they wanted to do. But MTV was absolutely an integral part of pushing the grunge rock movement. Again, it was sort of the social media of the 90s, if you will. In addition to MTV, something else worth mentioning is MTV had these unplugged sessions, which they would have bands come in and completely strip down their music, completely strip down the sound. It was in a very intimate setting, usually in a smaller room, as opposed to playing a show at like a fucking arena or football field. It was in a small closed environment, and you usually had a band playing acoustic guitars with like some candles and shit, you know, for effect. And they were right in the middle of this room, surrounded by all these people. And it really created for a very intimate session. And these bands that went on to play the MTV Unplugged sessions, I mean, some of these sessions are iconic. Some of the performances during these sessions were absolutely iconic.
I agree.
Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and Alice in Chains all did one. And I mean, you can see the emotion in the band's eyes. What was that Nirvana cover? Where Did You Sleep Last Night? So Nirvana ended their Unplugged session with a cover of a Lead Belly song called Where Did You Sleep Last Night? The song ends with Kurt Cobain basically screaming, "Where did you sleep last night?" And he's screaming, and you can see the pain and torment. Like he was getting I don't want to say emotional. I don't want to say he wasn't fucking crying or anything. But I think my point is valid that you could see the emotion, and like he opens his eyes for a second, and it's almost like he has a moment of clarity for just a moment whenever he opens his eyes at the end of this gut-wrenching scream. Pearl Jam, same thing. Eddie Vedder is an amazing vocalist. So same deal with him during his unplugged session. Alice in Chains, I've heard that Layne Staley was strung out and was literally falling asleep.
Yep. That was that. I heard about that too.
So you heard about that as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He was wearing shades throughout the entire session, so you couldn't see. Yep. And not knowing, you couldn't tell, but after hearing that story, you know, you go back and you watch that session, and yeah, you can absolutely see that he's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
he wasn't completely there.
Not 100%. Okay, so I do have a question. How do you feel whenever people... This is what... Every time I bring this up, this is the first thing that people bring up to me. When I mention, you know, I miss the grunge era, and people go... The first thing they say, well, Kurt Cobain killed himself. So is that something that you hear a lot? Is it's always tied to Nirvana and Kurt? Mostly Kurt.
It is. And you bring up a very valid point. Grunge music is not just Nirvana and Alice in Chains. Grunge music was also the Melvins, Mudhoney, Garbage, yes. Hole, L7, Smashing Pumpkins, Collective Soul, Sunny Day Real Estate.
Ooh, yeah.
You could kind of say Oasis, kind of.
I could kind of see it.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan either. Actually, one of my favorite grunge bands, another English band, Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. In that grunge rock conversation. So grunge rock was not all Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and Alice in Chains, and STP, mm-hmm. You know. It was a huge movement, and there are still bands that are still active to this day. Granted, they're all a bit older.
it kind of annoys me, because anytime that I bring up grunge era, everybody wants to bring up the death of Kurt Cobain. And that it's like out of all of the iconic things that happened during that era, that's the only thing you want to bring up? That's the only thing you want to talk about?
Not to mention, he's not the only guy.
Right.
In that whole genre that died. You know, one guy that I never hear anybody talk about is Shannon Hoon.
Yes.
The vocalist for Blind Melon. Yes. Nobody ever talks about Shannon Hoon. He OD'd from heroin, I believe it was. There are a few other guys that I can't think of right now. I mean, obviously, Scott Weiland has died now. Yeah. Layne Staley, of course. It was not all Nirvana, and Kurt Cobain was not the only one that died.
Exactly. And I just hate that that's the only thing that gets brought up. Like, there's so much that happened during the grunge era that you're just kind of like, you know, out of everything, that's what you take away. You know what I mean? It kind of irks me. So yeah. Sorry, not sorry. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that in a bad way, because I love Kurt Cobain. I love Nirvana. I was a big fan.
Yes.
And it has nothing to do with that. It's just that was a very sad time. And that really did suck for that genre of music at the time. And it was horrible, but
there's so many other iconic things that come along with that era that it just, it shouldn't be focused solely on this is what it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just my two cents.
Actually, and Jade, I have a question for you. I'm totally putting you on the spot. She didn't know I was going to ask her this question.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, no, she really didn't. Jade, just speaking to grunge rock alone, all right, what was... actually, I'm going to back up a little bit. Who is your favorite grunge band?
Oh, man.
And why?
Oh, man. I might have to go... Man, I don't know. There was so much. My cousin was a big grunge influencer on me, and she was a big fan of Garbage and Bush. And by proxy, that was... who I always listened to because I was always hanging out with my older cousin. And my older cousin was like the cool kid of the family. Everybody had to hang out with him. So by proxy, I was really big into Garbage and Bush.
Shirley Manson. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Shirley Manson of Garbage. She was probably one of... Yeah.
Female crush.
Yes. She was probably one of my first like female artist celebrity crushes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in you know, that Irish accent, you know.
Always the accent. Yep.
Similarly, my favorite grunge band is Bush. I still rock the hell out of Bush to this day. The first CD I ever bought was Razorblade Suitcase, Bush's second album recording, whatever semantic you like to use. Razorblade Suitcase, yeah, that was the first CD that I ever bought. And I played that damn CD until it stopped working. you remember it? Yeah, my Walkman didn't. Oh shit, I said Walkman. How about that shit? Oh my God. Oh, ouch. I totally just dated myself. But I'm sure everybody, if you're still listening to this show though, you probably had a Walkman yourself.
Right? Okay, so don't judge me, and I know this isn't necessarily like the whole grunge thing, but I think the number one band I can think of that I listened to the most when I was younger was Green Day.
You know, Green Day is interesting.
It's a good word for it.
I don't completely disagree that they're not grunge, but I don't necessarily agree either that they are grunge. They were absolutely in that time frame. And damn, I like, see, again, I don't know. I don't have any other adjective at the moment other than to say that they're interesting because they weren't like fucking hardcore punk, like Black Flag.
Right.
And Sex Pistols. They had their influences, but they were also kind of grunge too.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, have you ever tried to look to see like what most people would classify them as? Rock.
Yeah, I guess. I guess the overall term for Green Day would be rock or 90s rock. Now you cannot deny them of that. They are absolutely 90s rock, 90s rock alternative.
Oh, I agree with that. I do agree with that. Yeah. It's just, they kind of like, some of their stuff kind of would fall in like the whole grunge category, but then the rest of their stuff is like, so it's kind of like hard to really put Green Day in a box and say, this is where you belong, in my opinion, but
it really is. Yeah. Hey, speaking of another one of my favorite grunge bands from that time that we haven't mentioned yet, the Cranberries.
Oh, Oh, I'm not a fan.
No. Okay. Not everybody was. And also the cranberries. I mean, that is kind of getting more into, I guess you could say, adult alternative.
Yeah, I would agree.
What was that band with the song Long December? Counting Crows.
Counting Crows,
They're kind of in the conversation with Counting Crows. Like they had a little bit of grunge, but I definitely would define Counting Crows more as, I guess, alternative rock.
Yeah, you know? I agree with that.
And also, I think it's really important to mention that one of the key components of grunge music, what was not only the sound that I was talking about earlier, it was also the mood of the music. Grunge often had like this brooding darkness about it. I think a really good example of this is the, all right, we just got to saying that grunge is not all Nirvana, but I'm using Nirvana as an example. I think a great example of the brooding darkness that I'm talking about is the Nirvana song, Something in the Way.
Ooh, yeah.
It's basically about being homeless. The song is basically about being homeless. There's some conjecture about if Kurt Cobain was ever actually homeless, or if he ever actually lived under the bridge that he talks about in the song.
Right.
But anyhow, that song really captures that brooding that I was talking about. And the song is completely stripped down. It's him and an acoustic guitar. I don't remember if there's actually any drums or any other. I think there might be a little string section in it. But anyhow, that song really captures like the despair in the lyrics. The music was not just the music and the lyrics. It was absolutely the feeling that was put off.
Yeah.
Mental illness and drugs was absolutely a part of grunge rock. Now, drugs and such and mental illness is not specific to grunge music. That shit's fucking everywhere. That's in all genres of music.
Oh yeah.
But I want to say almost that the drugs and the mental illness was almost an inspiration for grunge rock.
Oh yeah, and going back to your Nirvana, I believe if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, because remember how I know we spoke earlier and I told you about how I was a big fan of Nirvana, and when all the stuff came out about Kurt, I like did a lot of digging because I was just like upset because I was a fan of Nirvana. But he had gone on record saying that he was kicked out of his house whenever he dropped out of high school, and that he was homeless for a little while, and okay, that he didn't live under the bridge. It was some river, Wishkah River.
I know the one you're talking about. I have no idea how to pronounce that. They did, speaking of Unplugged, they did another Unplugged live album on the banks of the Wishkah, however the hell you pronounce that. If you live in Washington State and you care to...
Is that so how you're supposed to say this?
Yes. I would love to know. I've always been very curious of the correct pronunciation of the Wishkah River. Not sure.
I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna say that's what it is. Wishkah.
It's probably a native. I'm really assuming it's probably, you know, since it's in Washington State, it's probably a Native American name.
It could be.
It sounds Native American.
He said that that basically he did live under a bridge by that river, and said that he sometimes crashed on friends' couches, but he mostly lived underneath this bridge, and said that he, if I remember correctly, his form of employment that he found afterward was working at some kind of hotel or resort or something in Seattle. So,
damn, you know, and it's interesting that we're having this conversation because, Kurt Cobain was not quiet that he hated the fame and he hated the notoriety, but at the same time, it's like, well, hey buddy, you want to go back to busting tables and living under a bridge?
Right. He just wanted to play the music.
Right.
That is pretty interesting. I love your take on that too, with the whole grunge thing. And I mean, I think it was very, very interesting, and it makes me miss being a kid again.
Yeah. You know, and you look back on it and you think, oh my God, that was such a fun time. But I mean, would you really want to go back to then? Yeah. Would you really want to go back to then? I don't know that I would.
I don't know that I would either. I mean, I'm not going to lie. My high school years were pretty damn fun.
Okay.
So, I mean, I wouldn't mind going back to high school. Oh, I squeaked. I heard it. I picked up on it. I squeaked.
You just did it. I told you. You're a squeaker.
Damn it. I'm so tired of being sick, y'all. Like, I don't want this no more. I didn't sign up for this. I want my money back.
Any final thoughts?
I think that grunge should make a comeback.
You know, and the thing about it is, all of this music that we were just talking about, it's all out there. Go to YouTube. Go to Spotify. Oh my God! So I have really had fun the last couple of days. All that I have listened to in the last couple of days have been nothing but grunge rock, and I have had a hell of a good time. Spotify, come to find out. And by the way, we are not sponsored by Spotify, unfortunately. Spotify reps, if you're listening, I'm here for you, buddy. Anyhow, Spotify is a really great tool to learn about music, and I'm not just talking about grunge rock. I mean, it's a really great tool. They'll put together random ass playlists for whatever kind of music genre you're looking for. And so the point that I'm getting at is that, you know, it's dead and gone, but the music lives on.
I felt that.
Yes.
Well, we want to thank you guys for listening to Off the Record, a music podcast. Be sure to join us on Facebook at facebook.com/musicotrpod and check out our website at offtherecord8.godaddysites.com. And be sure to check all those out for all your exclusives, behind the scene photos, videos, and more. And tune in every Thursday to hang out with your two favorite hosts.
That's right. Thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate you.